Welcome to the worlds of WordCraft. Welcome to the worlds of WordCraft. Welcome to the worlds of WordCraft.
Welcome to the worlds of WordCraft. English 115F, Fall 2007, Vanderbilt University. Professor Jay Clayton, Professor Matthew Jed Hall. Visit our class blog at worldsofwordcraft.wordpress.com.
Today we are talking about remediation.
Could you expand on that comment?
I thought it was extremely dry and kind of hard to follow. You tried to be nouveau with those little like hyperlinks as a book with those little hyperlinks and just go for it. I don't really think it worked.
Uh-huh.
And then I thought it was just kind of far out.
How many examples maybe it was me. Could you possibly need?
It's really repetitive, but yeah,
that's
yeah,
why I thought it was
repetitive too.
Let's repeat hypermediacy.
Then again, it took me like a long time.
Did anyone else fall asleep
watching
this?
So, this was written by two prominent English professors, J. David Bolter, down at Georgia Tech, and Richard Grusin, one of my best buddies. So I appreciate you.
So I love that reading last night.
And he,
that was Bolter's part.
I was on the edge of my seat.
That was Bolter's part, exactly. And
I have our chat logs. So.
Grusin was looking forward to listening to the iPod of this discussion. I told him about it.
Minute 0 to 2 minutes.
This is our editing guru here. He's gonna.
All right, let's try this again.
Let's just restart today.
So, yeah, that's true. We're gonna remediate this class. So, how did you like remediation?
Amazing.
I loved it. Instant classic.
I read it twice.
Really,
we should make a movie based off of it.
We should remediate it.
Exactly.
New medium.
Wednesday Mo coming.
Actually, he's a great guy. He taught at Vanderbilt for a semester, maybe even for an entire year, just as a guest professor. And I think he would enjoy hearing the honest reaction of a non-English major first-year students. You know, this is clearly written.
Oh, be a little less.
No, go for it. He's got to be able to take it. He wrote it. The two of them wrote it. They put it out here. It's for sale. It's an MIT book, which is by MIT Press is the best, sort of most established press for work on media and digital technology. And they're extraordinarily expensive books.
And you can find them online, which is a nice touch.
You can find his article online.
First teacher.
Tim, I hope you immediately went to the online site and grabbed it. Why didn't you Facebook people?
Oh, it was the same site that you linked last time for Jasper Jules thing, yeah. No. I just typed it in on Google, the exact title. I've got it off my computer.
Right. These are very expensive books. Clearly, it's an academic study written for other academics, not for a general audience. And these books cost about $100 a piece and, you know, maybe $85, some expensive amount. And it's difficult material. We knew it would be difficult. But it's got some crucial ideas. It's got some really key ideas. You notice that Barry Atkins talked about it a couple of times. Several of the other readings we'll come to are going to come back to this concept that Bolter and Grusin articulated about remediation. Now, we're gonna go over it very carefully because it is difficult, and we'll make sure everybody understands the concepts. But we thought there might be more fun ways into it, starting with, you know, fine hypermediacy, which is what I thought of for our quiz question.
Nine behind you there, Matt.
Define. What?
Paper.
You want to? Yes. You ready for it?
As a quiz? Or?
Yeah, no, what if I... No, we're not going to have a quiz. Tim, we're not having a quiz.
And the gorgeous.
Yeah, go.
Define. Well, you're sort of like saying that. Can I define as opposite first, or clarify?
Sure.
Just saying, like, mediacy is the idea that we're trying to get past the thing that we're looking through. So if you're looking at a computer and there's a webcam on the mountain, we want to feel like we are on top of the mountain and not looking through a computer screen. And at the same time, the hypermedia is sort of the art in the media itself. So if you had a little, you know, toolbars or comments that came down into the mountain, that would be a sort of, you would comment on the mountain, but that takes away from you being there. But at the same time, we enjoy messing around with the media itself.
You should have asked for a quiz. No, you could have really aced it. Good work. Good work. Other comments about hypermediacy and immediacy. What?
It reminds me of the new Sports Center. They added the toolbar down the side, and when I was reading that, all I could think of was, I hate the new Sports Center.
Yes, sir.
I was just going to say that it's just like a blending of different forms of media, and it's talking about, you know, how, like, it's got you, in cinema, you'll still have text, and you'll still have, like, still photographs sometimes, and so that's kind of what I was mentioning, too.
Very good. Richard? They figured out your book. You weren't difficult enough. Ratchet it up next time. Well, that's great. So, did you have your hand up,
yeah,
Michael?
Yeah, like when they used to write the Bible just in hand, by hand, you know, when they had to copy it. And they'd really intricately design some of, like, the, you know, letters, which was, you know, just art adding to another aspect to the writing.
Now, did you find that interesting, that comparison with illuminated manuscripts, the old medieval way of disseminating text? Go right ahead.
I was going to talk about, like, he talked about photographs, and, like, how now in today's digital world, if we want to have that medium be present, we can, like, take a regular photograph, but in black and white, and we can add touches to it to make it look like it was from, like, the 50s or something. We can bring in the medium, yeah, and make it look like we want it from, you know, a different period of time. Or
so we've got two terms that we've already defined very effectively: immediacy or transparency. He kind of uses those interchangeably. They, I should refer to it, because Bolter was, of course, the co-author, and hypermedia. Yes, sir.
I just wanted to mention it because I found it really interesting. That's when he explained that you could define who was an engineer and who was an artist through their terms of opacity and transparency. And I've actually seen programs, if you use Adobe Photoshop, they call it opacity, because you're an artist, you're trying to design, like, the toolbars that will go on a web page. But then I've conversely used, like, a C++ program that also has a design element to it, but they call it transparency. So it's, like, totally different viewpoints of the exact same thing.
Interesting. Why do you think that is?
Well, the engineers want you to be, you know, brought into the experience so much that you don't know it's there.
That is fascinating. So I'm really impressed with what good BS artists you all are, who started out with a chorus of how much you hated this book and have managed to begin each comment with, I was really interested in blank. Were you interested in that, Peter?
I found it really cool just because I remember using different programs that exactly illustrated that.
Okay, yes.
Well, when I was reading, I couldn't stop thinking about the Wii and the PS3 and the Xbox, because I feel like, especially, it hit me when I was watching the new Resident Evil trailer for Xbox 360, and my brother and I are commenting on how it's a movie, because in video games, when you have sort of a cutscene movie, it has better graphics than real gameplay. But then we're looking at it, and we're like, no, this is gameplay, and everything looks very real on the 360. And then I started thinking about, well, what the Wii has done is, the Wii's Nintendo, so they have the goofy graphics and the big monkeys with ties and things, which aren't real at all, but at the same time, they brought in this sort of virtual reality accelerometer Wiimote thing. And so I just saw how both of them, the Xbox sort of has graphics that are real, but at the same time, I mean, you know, zombies and the control obviously isn't a real interface. You're moving joysticks, so that's sort of the hypermediacy of it, and the graphics are sort of going towards the immediacy. And then with the Wii, the movement is going towards the immediacy, and the game story and graphics are going towards hypermediacy.
You got a comment on that?
You're doing great.
It's just great. Yeah, you really are getting it. So What did he mean, they mean, the authors of this book mean by the double logic of remediation? Yes, well, Seth.
Made you think of doublespeak from 1984.
Yes.
Believing in a lie, but knowing it's not true. Kind of that uh-huh. doublespeak concept where you know the medium's there, but you're trying to get through it. Like trying to get rid of the medium, even though there's no way to actually get rid of it. So you try to believe that you're actually in this world, even though you know it's not true.
That is certainly one dimension of it. What I think you've actually talked about is the paradox of immediacy. Mm-hmm. So that rather than the paradox of remediation, the paradox of immediacy is exactly what you just said. That you know there's a media there. There's always a medium. There's just no such thing as representation without a medium. Words, even spoken words, are a medium, of communication. So there's always something between you and idea, language, image, cinema.
Can I raise one quote in here from the reading? The digital medium wants to erase itself so that the viewer stands in the same relationship to the content as she would if she were confronting the original medium. It's to Seth's point.
Just to Seth's point, exactly. And yet, there's a paradox there because you want to get through the medium, but you know it's there. So what's the double logic of remediation? Yes, Chris.
Isn't that where he was like referring to the wire, where he was like, it's like TV, but better? And they're like, they're trying to replace the old media with a new media that isn't media, or something along those lines. That's
certainly what he's saying about the wire, and we're going to want to take a look at Strange Days in a minute here to explore that further. Well, let's go to the actual passage. Were your page numbers erased on this? Did you get it
online? You can. Yeah. If you want to pull it up on MIT Press, just type in the let's see what I type in. Pretty much just the book title, and then I think the second link will be MIT Press, and then the book number or the page number will be on the left side. And the first file is like 1 through 20, and the second file is like 20 through 50.
So I'm going to be talking about the third page, so you're going to want the first file. We can get access to a text like that because of the student is able to identify the
what's the page number?
Type in like
three.
Well,
it's actually page five. It's the third page.
What's it start with?
It's got these two pictures on the page.
It's not this one.
This page five.
It's only giving me
sample chapters.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, the sample chapters are
chapters,
the first two
intro
are
intro and chapter one.
Yeah,
or what we mean.
Would be the.
So what page do we need?
Click on the second sample
page
chapter.
Five.
It says introduction, the double logic of remediation.
Right. That's the title of the introduction. So it's a key concept.
And then page five is. Does it have a picture of Wild Birth Unlimited?
Yeah, it does. It does. So, at the top of the page, in addressing our culture's contradictory imperatives for immediacy and hypermediacy, this film demonstrates what we call a double logic of remediation. Our culture wants both to multiply its media and to erase all traces of mediation. Ideally, it wants to erase its media in the very act of multiplying them. Can someone unpack that for us a little bit? Explain what he just explained.
Well, to do the task that he wants to do, it involves a very complicated process. And through that process, we add more and more processes with the intent of making the illusion that they are not there.
That's right.
And, this just sort of came to my mind. It's a little bit off. I don't know. It occurs to me that poetry, one of the oldest medium, is so effective because it it uses emotion as its key, and you're to help you understand what the author's trying to. I think that's why. I just think that's why that's been such a. That media has been such an establishment, because that's where you've gotten closest to where that person actually was standing, where the wire is, where you're in that first person viewpoint, and you have the same emotions and feelings that that person's feeling.
Tim wants to comment on you.
That one sentence, I don't know how much this fits with the rest of the paper, kind of made me think of The Matrix a little bit, because in a sense it's like this huge computer program that they put you physically into. And, like, I don't know, that just seems like something. I don't know if that's ever going to be possible to accomplish in our world.
Well, it certainly is invoking ideas that run through the Matrix.
The Bionic Woman's out right now. So.
Yeah, brand new Bionic Woman.
Wait, what?
What?
Talk about remediation in an odd
So our culture wants it both ways. And they not only want it both ways in the sense that Wesley and Seth were talking about, so to use media to erase media. We certainly want that. We see that all the time. You know, what's your biggest complaint about a computer? Well, it may not be your biggest complaint. A big complaint about a computer game is that it doesn't look realistic. You know, the graphics aren't very good. You're sitting there saying, well, you know, it just looks like a game. It doesn't look real. So we use all of our computing power to achieve the illusion of no mediation at all. So that's one part of it. But then they also talk about a craving for multiple media, the visual display of multimedia. I was actually thinking of the CNN example.
Absolutely.
So we got CNN up here.
You want to go now or then?
Well, let's go now first. So.
CNN.com.
CNN.com. There you are. Hey, look at all the channels. And
video, latest news, special particular attention to this article, an advertisement.
Popular.
Britney Spears' bodyguard, what more could we ask for? And these are like you fellows here, the under 30 overachievers.
Under 30 overachievers.
Markets, podcasts, more ads, get your local, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth.
So is this hypermediacy or transparency?
Hypermediacy.
And what did they say were the hallmarks of hypermediacy? What qualities?
Multiple forms of media.
Hyperlinks.
Yeah. Keep talking.
Like tabs. Pictures, videos.
Tabs, pictures. What else? Let's scroll back down, Professor Hall, please. Okay, so pause right there. What else did they say about it? All the things you've said is true.
Interaction.
It is interactive. But, I mean...
It seems like it was like the intuitive.
Links to other forms on the bottom.
Well, you know, intuitive would be the desire for immediacy. So right in the middle of all this mess, you also want it to be intuitive.
Yeah.
So that the link you want to click on is logically right there.
Yeah, wherever you think it's going to be, so you don't have to search for it.
So isn't that a wild paradox? I mean, you've grown up with this, so it's maybe not as strange to you as you think, but that you could want it to be an intuitive design, at the same time you make a page that looks like that. What is that? I mean, that is a mess. Look at all the bars on it. Look at the fragmentation.
Yeah, butter.
What?
It's butter.
Yeah, but you know where. But, like, there's, like, a logical division to it. Like, if you're looking for local news, you've got a local box. If you're looking for...
Good luck finding a local
box. It's probably there, probably.
But, you see, the logical, what you just called logical, is links up with Wesley's comment about intuitive, and that's a paradox, that you would both seek a logical layout, that the button that you need is going to be where you think to look for it. At the same time, you're clearly grooving on making it just as wild and cluttered a visual display as possible.
A lot of pages like this, now you can actually customize what you get out of the page. So every time you go to it, it'll give you exactly what you want. Sure. Sort of minimize the clutter.
Absolutely. And so that is a way to have a hypermediated space move toward more intuitiveness and immediacy. That is, you know, anybody have a relative that's, you know, a parent or a grandparent that finds that kind of screen a little overwhelming?
Yeah.
Well, yes.
She finds her computer.
Yeah, I was going to say, kidding. The keyboard is
the internet.
Right, and that's another barrier, but I'm just talking about the screen when they look at that. Now, what is CNN on television like?
The exact same things.
This reminds me of a newspaper, the front page of a newspaper, where you've got all those little boxes telling you what the weather is, what page everything is.
Yeah, I mean, except it's newspaper hypermediated.
Exactly.
I mean, I know I'm being pretty tautological here, but it's a newspaper on steroids. They've really pumped it up with pictures and feeds and real-time feeds and video, and it's much more confusing than the front page of a newspaper, isn't it? But which newspaper is more like this than others?
There's one in particular,
USA Today.
Yeah. So, isn't it... Go ahead.
Some people like that, though, like having a bunch of different things at your fingertips, because you don't really, like, even though it might be a little bit cluttered, it lets you see everything in a quick glance.
You don't want to flip the pages.
Yeah.
You don't
want it's all right in front of you. You can see what the main headlines are and stuff.
Sure.
It's like a lot of papers have, like, a little summary page somewhere on it. Like, well, I know the Miami Herald did down in Florida, where, like, if you went to the back of a Section B, it had, like, all the headlines and all the sections and stuff. So some people like that feature.
Michael, you bet this.
We like it because we've grown up with it. There's nothing like it. That's what all media is now. Because, I mean, what else is there to like?
The New York Times. International Herald Tribune.
There's a clip from a CNN piece.
So is this television CNN?
Yeah, it's a TV clip of a guy who did some stuff.
I wanted to try something new that...
What would you expect? You have to go see. Notice the background.
Yeah.
And you'll see as we go through here, tickers. This is the point about the video component of hypermedia. See, even in the broadcast, there's 7 or 8 things going on the screen at the same time.
That's right. So, all right, it is. They point this out. We're just underlining it. That there's something very interesting about the fact that television has remediated. An earlier technology, television, has remediated a later technology, the internet, so that the television screen of CNN now has tickers and boxes and multiple channels of information the way the computer screen does. So it's like a backwards influence from computer back to television.
Back to print.
Back to print, which is USA Today. Exactly. Yes, sir.
I kind of had a question about something I didn't really understand. I think they made an example about hyperlinks and on a website. But they also compared that to like a hyperlink in a book. And I didn't really understand where they were going with that. I didn't really see the hyperlinks in a book.
Anybody want to help them out?
They just meant they had one part on theory, which we had to read, and one part on examples, I guess, which we didn't read. And they said, you know, in a theory chapter, if they're giving a theory, then they'll give you the example, they'll give you the page number of the example. And in the example chapter, you just want to skip to that. If you're just reading the full examples and you're like, you know what, I'd like to know about the theory, after each example, they'll have, you know, the theory about this is on page 49, and then you would flip to page 49 and read about it.
But then, their larger point is
that's
the way notes in books have worked for hundreds of years. So, you know, you have a footnote and you have to go to the library and get the book if you want to learn more about what the footnotes referring you to.
And probably scroll 10 referred to scroll 1 at
some
point. Well,
Michael started us off with medieval manuscripts. I mean, that's a kind of hyperlinked text if you think about it. There's the Bible down the center, then all around the sides are the commentaries. So that's a medieval hyperlink. So you want to show them what this book... Somebody said this book was dated. Did you? Who found this book dated?
A little bit.
A little bit. What is any? Well, dated means just already out of date a little bit.
Yeah. Most of the things it referenced were just from either late 90s or maybe the fairly early 2000s, I believe. Yeah. So, and I mean, the things change so fast now. Like, I mean, there's that law that, you know, technology doubles in 5 years or whatever. I don't know the specifics, but 2 years?
Moore's Law.
Moore's Law. 18 months.
That's the one.
Not 5 years.
Computational power doubles every 18 months, so goes the theory.
So if that article is 7 years old, then it's a lot better now than it used to be.
Well, let's go 7 years back into our past, shall we?
Yes. Take us on a time machine.
Let's jump back historically in the Wayback Machine. This was CNN, December 2000, the dawn of a new age.
What differences do you see?
Aside from Al and George.
You're missing, like...
Yeah, Florida.
Couple the margin on the right.
Yeah.
And like everything else, like on the new one, they're kind of sorted into boxes, and then now it's kind of just like
you have to scroll down and read like everything.
There's not as many.
It's not as pretty. I'll say it.
It's not color.
I'll say it.
The font's just red line color. Color.
They want cute.
What about those just lists of hyperlinks?
Yeah.
And that was cutting edge. Those long lists of hyperlinks. Because, you know, it's still fast to jump from one to another, but you don't see that in...
There's no video.
You don't see that in 2007.
Because everyone was probably still...
Few advertisements. Few advertisements.
Yeah, no, not
all
many.
Up top, banner ads yeah, were banner the ads. Ads of the day.
Mm-hmm. It's integrated.
You know, there's like a video at the remote.
But they're stitching together many forms of content, including their partnership with Google, and as someone has said, CNN video. So it's a circularity that you get the video in with the text.
So let's talk about the different kinds of remediation that we've seen. We've started out. Are we able to show up there now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You want the keyboard?
No, I don't think I need the keyboard right now. So, I wanted to show you from page 11 of his book, that illustration.
And for the benefits of the listeners, on one of our screens, we have...
We have a painting from 1631 of a church, which they use to illustrate what? What point do they make using that picture?
The immediacy.
Yeah.
They want you to feel like you're there.
And how did the Renaissance painter create the effect of immediacy in
1610?
Was it
linear perspective?
Yeah,
linear
perspective. Brunelleschi, great innovation. We understand how that works. You know, this pavement in the painting is especially there to draw your eyes into it. The colonnaded archways draw you down. Notice how the arches get smaller like that to create a sense of perspective and distance. So that's how they achieved immediacy in the Renaissance. And here's another picture of a computer graphic rendering of a church. In 1989, this is the nave of, this is the one I'm talking about right there. So that was the best that computer graphics programming could do in 1989. And now, up on that screen, we have...
Tim, it'll be directly behind you.
Explain what we have there.
This is a representation of downtown Camelot in the Dark Age of Camelot MMORPG. This is in a realm called Albion, and this is the central cathedral in Camelot City. Does it look very familiar to the first painting that Professor Clayton showed you?
Mm-hmm.
Difference between that and this?
You're in this.
What am I doing now?
Interacting.
Closer. So could you run up to the altar?
Yeah.
In the Renaissance
painting?
And then you might try in your head.
It would be difficult. There'd probably someone tried. Different. Now we turn our perspective from the pulpit, so to speak.
Now does it, you, let's stay back up there for a second. And look back down at the view we had there. Is it using linear perspective to create three-dimensionality?
Yes. Yes.
So Brunelleschi's great innovation is still in use.
They're just taking it and making it better.
How are they making it better?
You can change. I know they said that the goal is to take the old medium and expand on it and make it better. But I think they're making it better because you can explore the world, but like in the painting,
three dimensional.
It's their media is integrated into this new medium.
Yeah, right.
Say that again. I didn't understand.
The media that they're using in architecture is integrated into this new media of role playing.
Okay, Tim.
I was going to say sort of. It's actually not as technologically innovative, but sort of like the painting up there. Has anyone ever seen Julian Beaver's art? It's this guy. Google it right now. It's really cool, and does sidewalk drawings.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
Drawing from one point of view, and it'll look like maybe like a Coke bottle, and then if they turn the camera to the other side, it looks like this completely skewed, like, it's Julian A-I-N and then B-E-E-V-E-R. My grandma sent me an email about it.
Yeah.
And there's some really cool pictures. B-E-E-V-E-R.
I've seen these before. Here's one.
There's some really cool ones where it looks like, you know, this guy's about to jump off a building is what I'm looking at, and it's just a drawing.
So
the ones where you like,
yeah, and if you look at it from the other side,
it's like M.C. Escher too is another.
That's a sidewalk.
No, Tim, what are
all
the way in right?
What he does
but
is
you
he
have
makes
to look
it,
at it,
makes
from
it
a
really
specific
a
point.
So when you look at one, if you look at the other side of the globe, there's another picture on the other side of the globe that you see what it actually looks like to other people. It's not really an interaction thing, but he uses the same perspective idea.
Do they have a second shot of it on this site?
We might not have it.
He cites this in his article. He mentions something he hasn't finished in, and I just Googled it because I was curious what it was. This stuff.
It's
awesome.
And
I'm trying to find where he cites that.
I just did Google it. It's really
smooth. The one with the...
That's a sidewalk.
That's really cool.
I don't know. I just thought it was cool
enough
and worth noting.
That's a sidewalk?
Yeah, he takes chalk.
He just draws on the sidewalk.
Wow.
Chalk.
Wow. High quality chalk. That is.
Julian Beaver. Tim, tell him one more time for our listening audience.
Julian Beaver. JULIANBEEVER. Pretty cool stuff. My grandma showed it to me. So she's listening.
Yeah.
Oh, go grandma.
There's one of the.
It's pretty cool that we're able immediately to access Julian Beaver's work projected up on the screen and also look at it on our laptops.
Jump right back into a church.
And then we're back here in the church. So anything, let's keep focused on this virtual world. Anything else about this that strikes you as different? He can dance in it. He can change your perspective. He can run into other areas.
you interact in it.
It's not people. Yeah, well, it's not totally interactive. You can't, like, it's not like you could, like, I don't know,
tear down
it's not real dent life. The column or something by yeah. hitting it or something. I mean, you can, like, talk
you
to
can
people.
Go upstairs and look
there's
down.
There's so many limitations.
What are the limitations?
Well, it's not, you know, like he was saying, it's not completely interactive. Like, you can't, there's a lot of things you can do, you could do in real life that you can't do here. Like, you couldn't carve something into the tree, for example.
Yeah, like, scruff the grass.
It's in between real life
yeah.
and the painting. It's like a...
Yeah.
Can you get upstairs? Do you remember how you got the front door and you, in the entryway,
like,
there's stairs to your right or left, there's stairs right there. It's interesting what you just said, Daniel. It's in between real life and the painting.
Like
in that, just think for a moment. We're used to saying that, but just think for a moment how amazing it is and how much computational power has been invested in enabling you to go up into the balcony and then look down on that exact same space and continually in real time update that image for you. What do you mean, Daniel, that it's in between real life and the painting?
Like, in the painting, you can all you can do is look at one specific one from one specific viewpoint.
Uh-huh.
And in this, you can look from any viewpoint you want within the building. You can interact with people. You can dance in it. But you can't. You're limited. You can't go and you can't, like, knock on the wall and feel something. You can't scratch in the wall. There's limitations.
You could if they programmed it.
Right, but they have. I mean,
who has force? Who knows force feedback?
What's that?
I mean,
Rumble. I don't.
You guys never played a driving game with force feedback?
Yeah.
Rumble joysticks.
Right, but it depends on, like, what's programmed in there
exactly.
It does. So what I'm
point
driving at is closer to life.
Right.
Why is that closer to life? Why isn't that just more layers of mediation? Force feedback, rumble. You know, no matter how many senses they add to it, you're just adding mediation. You're not actually closer to life. You're close. You've got
you
a
might, you may be distanced
more. Emulating
you're more
to could, life.
You're emulating closer to life. That's an interesting formulation. Max had his hand up, and then I'll come back to you.
I was just going to say, does anybody know the game? I think it's for Xbox, where they actually have, like, a responsive environment, so if you shoot a wall, it actually will.
Well, there...
Assassin's Creed.
There's various games that have tried that, but they never had, like... They never perfected it, where, like, if you hit a wall, it'll break, like, it physically would break. They have, like, three or four set animations that it breaks, like, a certain way, like... If you smash a table or something, it splinters into pieces, but the pieces are always, like...
The same.
The right. same.
Well, who was I talking to with about Assassin's Creed or somebody? But that's supposed to be... What?
It's supposed to be interactive in the way that you
it's
can, like...
To be like, yeah, anything
grab
that you
anything.
Could climb in real life, you can climb in the game and stuff, so that would be the next step, I guess.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about... Because we humans... thinking, or we live in five senses. We have our hearing, taste, touch, smell, or whatever else it is. And how we sense and perceive the world, like, we have monocular cues. There's, like, seven monocular cues we use. There's, like, two binocular cues we use to see for vision. And how, like, programmers implement, like, their programming, which cues they use and, like, how they want us to sense it is really the level of how, you know, close to immediation we get. So, like, the more they use, the closer to us being able to perceive us being there in real life.
The closer, more closely they emulate being there.
Right.
The point that Wesley added is that it's no less real than that. It's no less close to reality. It's farther from the illusion of reality, if that makes sense to you, Greg.
Well, but I would say that some forms of, like, the virtual reality and stuff actually do get closer to the real life. Because, like,
how so?
With the Wii, I mean, you're actually swinging the thing instead of like just like he said, moving a joystick to swing a sword.
Take a look at the picture in Remediation of the early virtual reality with the goggles.
Yeah, it's on page 4.
On page 4?
Yeah. You said he was wrong.
Is that picture? Does that look closer to reality?
To your eyes. That they're saying you can feel that you have something on your head. You can feel that it's you're not in that actual reality.
Well, the people outside doesn't look like your reality at all. It looks like you're a total nerd. But
well, you're not. You're not. It doesn't look like you are if you're using that.
So we is just that with a slicker interface. Slicker set of technology.
Who here watched Star Trek, The Next Generation, or any of the newer Star Treks? What's one of the technologies that are getting at where this is all going that they speculate about within Star Trek? What's, where do they go for their entertainment?
The holodeck.
Holodeck. Why is the holodeck so important? That's where Star Trek has the classic play within a play many times. Sherlock Holmes happening in the holodeck within a speculative science fiction environment. Isn't that the ultimate remediation, the holodeck?
No.
Why not?
The replicators are.
The replicators.
Because they're like, I want
matter
blueberry
from
pancakes
from
and
there's a blueberry pancake.
And those are actually real. They're not, you know, force fields.
Interesting.
Of light and sound that you can taste. And
so is that a representation? Is that a representation? The blueberry pancakes made in the replicators. And it's a common science fiction motif to have some kind of molecular assembler, as in Neal Stephenson's novel, The Diamond Age, or many, you know, I think back to the Foundation trilogy, Asimov had that replicator in there. It's a very common science fiction motif to imagine a machine that would generate food that you then could eat and receive nourishment from. So let's ask ourselves, is a pancake, what kind of pancake are we having?
Blueberry pancakes.
Yeah, is a blueberry pancake created by a replicating machine a representation or not?
It's not the real materials.
Well, wait, are you
it's the real pancake. I mean, they're using
the machine. It's just made differently.
But the mats are like protein, just random molecules that put together. So like, it's not like you grew the, you had
pancakes
the blueberries
made
pulled
with
them
love.
Off a.
Like, exactly.
The replicators
put the love into the pancakes. That's why
you put the love into your.
Where's the home?
So does this mean you're a Platonist?
It's not the real thing. I mean,
it's a shadow.
It's like
not
the Matrix.
It's not the reality.
I mean, the stage tastes good, but I know it's not real.
You like
well, put them side by side without knowing before which one was replicated and which was the original.
Yeah,
you'd be
well,
able to tell the difference.
Yeah, once false.
You've read Madeline. I think it was Madeline Lingle.
But it's made of the same thing.
It's basically the only difference is that for real pancakes, or I should say, they're both real, but. Old-fashioned pancakes?
Not replicated pancakes.
they're using like macro materials, like flour, which is just made up of other little molecules, but it's put together for you already. And for the replicated pancakes, using micro materials, which are like molecules, amino acids, etc., etc.
We're debating a technology that has been remediated from a novel in Asimov to television.
Television.
Been talking about is molecular transformation real or not?
Isaac Asimov, my favorite author of all time.
Oh, yes. I have a good example of something like the future technology. Can I like I have it on my screen? Can I put it up there?
Sure.
I'm plugged in. I just don't know how to.
So his number two.
I'm all ready.
Oh wow!
There it is.
It's been prepared.
Oh, it's sound.
Can you
hook up your...
Oh, right. Go back and let's start.
Start over there, Ted.
So, here we are in this classroom. Ted, enterprising student in the class, has gone to an example that he thinks will illustrate our discussion, and has we've hooked his laptop up to the big screen, and we still don't have any sound. Let's stop
it. I hear it.
Oh, you can't hear
it. Have to make sure Ted's sound is on, because our sound's on here.
Is your sound on?
My sound. Yeah, just turn it up a little bit.
Turn it up a little bit.
Crank it up, Ted.
There we go.
Crank it, Ted.
We all know someone who's an expert at a particular software program. Well, when you're using it, the user is extremely aware of how
No.
I'm not sure I agree. I think user sophistication is getting to a point.
Would you pause it? Pause it and go back and just show it to Tim again.
It was just referencing the book, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
that's probably around there. Just leave it.
I'm not sure I agree.
Not a little bit farther. Was it further back?
Further back,
yeah. Probably about four.
Oh, Tim, you need to see it.
You've got to see it right there, Tim.
And so on this video that Ted has just pulled up off the web, there is a overlay quote from the very book we're studying. Its function is a cultural counterbalance to the desire for immediacy in digital technology. If the logic of immediacy is to cram or to render automatic the act of representation, the logic of hypermediacy acknowledges multiple acts of representation and makes them visible. Pardon me?
You really just found this video now?
In the middle of the class.
Quite immediacy-like.
Obviously wasn't paying attention.
I think what this video shows is that the efficiency of TV, though, because our, depending on your reading speed, 40 to 2 hours, unless you fell asleep for longer than an hour or something while reading it, has now been condensed into a 6-minute clip that we could have all watched and gotten, like, the terms from. Because granted, there's a lot more detail in there, but all the details, I feel, by now have sort of trickled out. We have a few details, and we have the main ideas, and this is giving us all the main ideas and the few details in, you know...
And is this a professor?
...tenth of the time. No, it's not.
I think it's a teacher or something like that. It said it's her presentation for her class or something like that.
Well, she's educating regardless.
Yeah.
Right. No, I think this is a class presentation, which we should have, could have, and will...
And shall have.
...shall have linked into our course.
Hyperlinked into our course
and made possible by all this media...
She did mention a course manual. I don't know if anyone else picked up on that. Yeah, so.
Keep going.
The opposite. The user is extremely aware that they are directing.
She broke down the fourth wall a few times.
She did? Yes, keep it up and see if there's any credits.
Nope.
What's it? Which one was it?
Like Jody Ho, yeah.
Jody presentation.
Screen culture class presentation by. You go to more under.
Where? I don't see
it. Go to more by.
Yeah.
Down, left, up, down, stop.
Hypermediacy.
Hypermediacy, too.
Did I click it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Screen culture class presentation by.
More.
No.
Screen culture class.
Only 37
category minutes. People and blogs. Is there any other?
Other related videos.
I'm sure there's a lot of related videos, and it'd be interesting to call through at some point.
Go up shortly down. After the class.
Yes, after the class.
We get that subtle hint from our professor Hall. So let me pick up the challenge that Peter issued, saying that we could have just had that 6-minute YouTube video and skip the reading. Would have been nice.
Why would it have been nice?
I spent 5 minutes looking for it. 2 hours reading it. 1 hour worrying about a quiz because I didn't understand it.
Sounds like you were a quest hero. You overcame obstacles. You found the treasure.
What means you just take the 6-minute
It's a treasure
summary.
Would you have appreciated the 6-minute summary?
Oh, yeah. No doubt there. No argument.
I don't mean.
All right, who agrees with Chris? Everybody agree with Chris?
Everyone actually read it last night.
Half the class agrees with Chris's contention that easier equals
better.
Oh, in this case, not in all cases.
Yeah,
but I think you enjoy watching that much more after you've already gone through the time to read it.
But aren't you missing something? You're seeing her interpretation of this material. You haven't had a chance to interpret this and frame it for yourself.
Well, that material is their interpretation. It's either their interpretation or her interpretation.
Yeah. Well, but it's their interpretation or her interpretation of their interpretation is something else.
Well, she did quote them, so it would be her. She would be the secondary source. They would be the primary.
Yeah, or you
source.
Just read the quote from that video.
Well, how much intermediation do you want in this remediation of this opacity and transparency? I mean, how many layers do you want?
I think we need to see more.
Clearly, she didn't get all of it. I mean, Michael talked about the medieval illuminated manuscripts. She didn't talk about.
We
that.
Were able to go from.
Well, we missed
the church.
The first 2 minutes.
She didn't delve into the art history of it, but, I mean, like Peter was saying, she got all the main concepts.
She remarked on it. It's kind of like a SparkNotes version.
It is like
exactly.
A SparkNotes. It's a, hypermediated Sparks. What was the moment watching it when you all reacted most visibly?
When we saw
Minority Report,
the quote. She had herself on four screens popping up.
But it was when the quote came up that people went ood and awed, and somebody said, "I don't believe it." It's because you had been through reading it and you had thought you had to wrestle with it that her reference. Was a big moment. I'm supporting Daniel's side of this argument here. Yes, Tim, you've got a point.
No, okay.
I think that's probably enough today. Oh no, we want to see a little bit of
Strange Days.
I really do because we don't yet have virtual reality in this class. We've got. Two-dimensional representations of three-dimensional virtual realities. We have an old-timey picture up there of a guy with a virtual reality mask on over his eyes. Strange Days had. How many have seen Strange Days? This the movie.
How many have seen the movie? Raise your hand. Strange Days. Let's watch the preview. And get
that
the
was
mix.
Zero.
1985. We were like eight.
And this is a very hard R close to X movie. So
really,
and
have you
ever checked in?
Have you ever wire tripped?
Ready?
This is not like TV only better. This is life. It's a piece of somebody's. Life. It's about the stuff that you can't have, right? The forbidden fruit, straight from the cerebral cortex. I mean, you're there, you're doing it, you're feeling it.
You begin to see the possibilities here?
I am your main connection to the switchboard of the soul. I'm the magic man.
This has got something to do with water. Sooner or later it washes up on your beach.
Fan mail from some flounder?
Dog into the street. How do you like it now?
Your calls are gone. Admit it.
He gives it to you.
Why me?
There's more to this whole thing than you think.
Give us the tape right now!
You're all high up the food chain, this thing goes.
Do you know what this tape could do if it got out? I'd see the world opening up and swallowing us all.
This is conspiracy and paranoia.
The issue isn't whether you're paranoid, Lenny. The issue is whether you're paranoid enough. No more games, whatever's going on. You have to get out of here now.
Getting out.
This tape is a lightning bolt from God. It can change things. Things that need changing before we all go off the end of the road.
It'll be an all-out war, and you know it.
No! but maybe it's time for a war.
Oh man, cheer up. World's gonna end in 10 minutes anyway.
Read the. You've seen the movie. Now, ex-cop Lenny Nero is a pusher of potent and illegal virtual reality clips, and that's the premise of how powerful that could be in society.
That's supposed to be around Y2K.
Yes.
Yes.
but the movie they did the movie's not 85, is it? It's much later than 85.
1995. 95 is what it says in parenthetical. Representation there.
Yeah, 95. Oh, you made 5 steps.
So that's
back then,
what
happened
5 years
ago.
Intent is
the president caused mass panic.
Everything's shutting down.
So what did that? That was the movie that Bolter and Grusin referenced on the first 2 pages of your reading. What did they have to say about it? Why did they begin their entire book with that movie? Notice that their first sentence is a clip that is a phrase that appeared. Pardon me?
It's like the ultimate remediation. Like,
how so?
You can feel everything they felt in, like, in their world.
But it's
still everything.
But it's still remediated, isn't it?
But are you aware?
It's like perfectly transparent.
I think the awareness is what makes it remediation. If you weren't aware of it, if you actually thought you were that person, then that just makes it pretty
interesting. That's a kind of Alice in Wonderland thought. That when you had the wire in, you would be that person having that experience.
It's like is that Schwarzenegger movie?
Yes, Total Recall.
Total Recall.
On that movie, he's you don't know in the end if he's really in some culture, or if it's just his little vacation that he bought at that place. So it's really interesting twist right there.
But the other line that we heard actually in the little preview clip is this is not like TV, only better. This is life.
And there's a clip of the fellow who's wired in
having
an experience.
Having an ecstatic experience. So is it like life? Is it life, or is it like TV, only better?
It's an imitation of life.
So it is TV. I mean, isn't that Bolter and Grissom's point? It's that no matter how close you get,
you can never get there.
You're not there. You're in the world of mediation.
I mean, that's pretty much the tiny little bit of hyper mediation, though. That's pretty much immediacy. He's basically living someone else's life. Knows that he has another life. Like, what if he was wired into that guy for, you know, 7 years? What if somehow they had some wireless connection where that guy was walking around and this guy was experiencing the same thing? I mean, you did that for 10 years, then that's pretty much real life. He would be living that guy's life.
Well, that's like the literally. Cave again.
It's like the cave in Plato.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I was just going to say just that. If you didn't know about your previous life, then it wouldn't exist.
The Matrix.
It's also like the Matrix. Thanks. I think that's enough on Strange Days. So, we've got a few minutes left. You've said a lot about Bolter and Grissom's article. Let's add one more bit to our discussion of it. They talk about 4 stages of remediation, a spectrum of remediated experiments. Do you all recall what they were?
Jody didn't go over them.
No, Jody skipped that. Faithful and transparent remediation. And maybe Professor Hall has a movie clip from a 19th century novel that would show us an attempt at a faithful and transparent remediation. Then there's the... Yes?
If you watch the 10-hour BBC, Pride and Prejudice.
Well, turn around. Oh, yeah. It's not going to be Pride and Prejudice. It's going to be Sense and Sensibility. Yes, it's...
One motion picture will bring you all the surprises.
Let me just point out. Stop that right there. 10-hour BBC. I don't know if the Sense and Sensibility is 10 hours. It's not. It's a short movie. There is no little girl stabbing Hugh Grant in the belly with a fake sword.
That's a real sword?
In Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility. So the very first image they give us is not... in Jane Austen, just the professor in the
camera. You are the luckiest girls I've ever set eyes on. Can you not get them married, Mrs. Dashwood?
Marianne and Eleanor, as different as two sisters can be.
Do you love him? I do not attempt to deny that I think very highly of him, that I greatly esteem.
Oh, what a great movie. Let's pause it.
It is not like you.
So this attempts to be a... This attempts to be faithful and transparent. The next category of remediation they speak of is the kind that is an improvement on the old version. Can you all give me an example of that?
Well, I guess they try to improve on the old version.
I mean, we've been talking about improvements all class long, haven't we? Right. Didn't who was it that said that?
Well,
they,
the picture we saw up there, and then the actual like being in the church. Or
you see as an improvement on it. Okay. So
we would say Lord of the Rings and the Game of the Rings. No one would say it's an improvement on the book because it's a completely different experience.
There's a... I was talking about Strange Days. There's... I think everyone... Does everyone know who Chuck Palahniuk is? He wrote Fight Club.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
His newest novel is called Rant. And it's about a lot of different things, but there's one part where you sort of learn that it's not modern, it's sort of in the future, and he has this Strange Days idea, but instead of going with just, like, viewing people's lives, they take the videos and they rerun it through people on heroin, or they rerun it through dogs, so you're...
So sorry, where this is coming from, I have no
idea. On the water, isn't it?
No, because that's not
funny.
I
knew it was Trap! No! Yes! It wasn't me!
I'm trying to find that new video that I was
Ted seems control of the video.
You got it.
Liberated.
What am I doing?
I was in college. I talked about liberating a book or liberating the classroom. Ted liberated this classroom for his own uses.
Peter.
Okay, so...
It's
like Strange Days, except he takes it a step further in that they're not just experiencing what someone else did. They take the experience and they'll plug it into a dog or a baby or someone on heroin or something, and then they will output what the person who is seeing it is feeling. So instead of feeling someone rollerblading, you'll feel someone rollerblading with the like scent of a dog and the feeling of someone on heroin. And you feel all of that at the same time. So it just sort of takes the thing about Strange Days and does more of the morality and everything. He takes it steps back, more remediation.
So that, in effect, it's like what they would call in the sciences a chimera, a beast of several different sorts.
Yes.
So you can be a dog and a human at the same time.
It's an amalgamation.
So... the third kind of remediation, or the third on the spectrum of remediation, is what they call refashioning or aggressive remediation. And Wesley, in fact, referred to the fact that the game of the Lord of the Rings is clearly an aggressive remediation of the book. It's not it's not a transparent or faithful. It's a aggressive transformation into something else that, you know, you can say this is better than the book, it's worse than the book. But in a way, that's irrelevant. Exactly. It's different. It's something. It is something else. And then the final kind they mention is remediation that absorbs or repurposes its original. Can you think of an example of that? A remediation that just essentially takes over. Or repurposes.
Was that, what
did you say, videotape and DVD?
Well, those are different technologies. Daniel?
Someone said like restoring a picture. Is that what you're talking about?
Same.
Like you take a like. I know you can go to Photoshop and get like an old picture that's in black and white. I forget who was saying it. Was saying earlier, and you can like you can put color to it. You can like fix some of the like. Lines or some of the like stuff that's been worn down over time, so it looks like a newer, better picture, mm-hmm. but it's still the same picture originally. Is that
that would be a small example?
Okay,
we're looking for a more radical example, Greg.
I'm just throwing this out there. Expansion pack updates graphics, adds a new purpose because you're achieving a new goal, but it just absorbs what was originally there.
Can you think of an example of something that where the later incarnation of it became more prominent in the public's mind than the original?
Halo 2.
Or Halo 3.
Okay, I'm glad we've got some gamers in this class. Matt, can you think of this?
Well, it wasn't the Dukes of Hazzard, I say.
Isn't there an original Ocean's 11?
Pardon me?
Was there an original Ocean's 11 before?
Interesting.
Like a remake of an old song?
That's a good idea.
Into
where
like
the new
like
song becomes far more prominent.
Have you seen the different incarnations? What comes to mind for me, Professor Clayton, being a comic book buff, is how Batman has reincarnated over time from the traditional comic to the graphic novel to even various manifestations on television. And the media, The Dark Knight.
Adam West
was a different animal than The Dark Knight.
Yeah. Christian Bale. It's a Christian Bale. Okay, let's stop there. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Your blog topic is posted for Friday.
What's the subject?
Write something about the movie we saw.
Or here's my theme song about remediation.
Russell Hall, can I get an invite to the kid show?